May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I always wonder, what were the disciples expecting? It seems that this probably was not the first time Jesus had invited them to go with him when he went to pray. They don't seem to have been particularly struck by, oh goody, or excitement that they've been invited into something amazing. It seems, and we know from the Gospels, that Jesus went apart to pray regularly, and judging by the disciples' complete and utter lack of excitement about this prospect, I'm guessing he probably took some of the disciples with him pretty regularly. So when they climbed this mountain, they weren't really expecting much, except perhaps a long night when they struggled to stay awake and appear attentive. What a surprise it must have been to them when they lifted their heavy eyes and looked up, and suddenly there was Jesus, transformed, transfigured, glowing with the glory of God, and hanging out with Moses and Elijah. I'm fairly confident, judging by the way Peter blurts out the first thing that comes to mind, that whatever they were expecting, that wasn't it. I suppose it would be as surprising as if you guys came to church this morning and suddenly I sat with my face glowing and appeared before you and the glory of the Lord filled the church. You'd probably be pretty surprised too. Somebody that you know and love well, somebody that you know is a faithful Christian, we still don't expect that, do we? Maybe we should. Or at least maybe we should expect more than we usually do. I've been reading or rereading a book that was released a couple of years ago that was talking about the challenges of youth ministry with teenagers and young people. And it's based on a series of interviews and a sociological study in which teenagers were interviewed about their impressions and about their faith and about what they believed. And distressingly, what the study found is that while many young people have sort of positive feelings towards religion, they're not very articulate about what that means. And they don't find that it's a particularly important part of their life. This may change as they get older, of course, but the thing that troubles the authors is the way in which they reflect so much of the wider church. As he says, it's not that they have failed to understand what was taught to them, they actually have understood it just fine. That for a lot of us, we begin with this kind of of God, what God wants of us is to be good people, to be nice people, that it's sort of this kind of source of morality. All we're, you know, we should be good, nice people, kind people. And that's kind of where it ends. God becomes a support in difficult times, but doesn't ask very much of us in between. The fact that you are all here in the middle of a gorgeous August summer Sunday tells me that you guys probably have something deeper and a different kind of experience of God than that. But I think most of us at some part in our lives would have to admit that that's kind of where our relationship begins. Maybe it's because we baptize babies. So because we start our journey in Christ with tiny little babies, we don't really see much transformation in that moment. Because after all, we're starting with a person we don't know yet because they haven't yet become the person they will be. But maybe it also continues because we stop expecting transformation. We stop expecting anything much to happen if we go to church on Sunday morning, except maybe we'll have some really good music. That, by the way, we get on a regular basis, so I'm grateful for that. But we certainly don't walk into church expecting to see the glory of God shining all around us. We don't expect to leave church with the glory of God shining out from us so visibly from us. But if there's one thing the Bible is clear on, that kind of intimate relationship with God, which we should be seeking when we come here on Sunday morning, we should be seeking in our prayer life, we should be seeking when we climb mountaintops to be with God, that experience should change us. And it should change us in ways that are indeed visible to the people around us. I'll be honest, I don't think very often our faces shine. But you all know people who, after an amazing experience, have glowed with happiness and joy, right? Metaphorically, at least. That is the kind of thing we actually should expect from the life of prayer and of gathering in community, of seeking God's presence, the kind of life of faith that Jesus models for us throughout his ministry. As someone who prays, who goes apart to seek the presence of God, of someone who listens and is ready to be taught and led by God. It is the kind of transformation that Jesus experiences on that mountaintop, in which all of a sudden all that God has poured into him is visible to the people around him. And they don't know what to say. And we know this is possible because in the Episcopal Church, I get this big fat book called Holy Women, Holy Men, which is our calendar of saints. And there's so many in there that we literally have like one almost every day of the year, and they want to add more. And everybody's wondering, but what happens when we have more than 365? What do we do then? But of course, we do have more than 365 people in the history of the church in whom the glory of God has been visible to those around them. In whom, when people looked at them, they saw someone transformed by a relationship with God, by a life of prayer, by a willingness to follow, even when it was hard. We've all known, perhaps in our own lives, somebody that even as I'm saying this, you're thinking of them. You're thinking of somebody in whom the love of God, the compassion of God, the kindness of God had transformed them so much that we saw the glory of God when we were with them. Throughout the church history, we have had people transformed by that kind of faith. Most of us don't actually have to climb a mountaintop and get a voice from the clouds. It's much more of an ongoing, week after week, month after month, year after year, intimate relationship with God that slowly transforms us into this kind of person. But we can all think of people in whom we have seen the glory and wonder and love of God. So that's what we should be expecting. That's what we should be expecting when we walk into church week after week, when we gather in our small groups to pray, when we sit with friends seeking the presence of God where two or three are gathered. We should expect to be changed. We should expect to be transformed. We should expect the glory of God to become sufficiently visible in us and through us that others can see it shining out from our faces, shining out from our actions, shining out from the way we live our lives. When Jesus went up to the top of the mountain, I don't know if he knew what was going to happen or not, but I suspect he wasn't surprised by it. Because he had been in that intimate relationship with God for years, and he remembered Moses, who had that same kind of one-on-one conversation with God. And he knew perfectly well that when you have that kind of relationship with God, it becomes visible. It's also worth noting that Jesus didn't go up there thinking that was going to happen. That meant that his road was going to be smooth sailing and everything was going to be happy and prosperous from then on. He and Moses and Elijah were talking about what's called here his departure, meaning his crucifixion and death. Jesus knew that this being filled and surrounded and part of the glory of God did not mean the road got easy. But he knew that that kind of intimate relationship with God meant that whatever came next, he would be able to do it. And it's probably worth looking up the next verses in this story, in which the disciples and Jesus come down from the mountain, and the disciples left behind are scratching their heads because they can't heal this boy who's been possessed of a demon, and Jesus fills up his hands and says, well, this kind needs prayer, and promptly cures the boy. Jesus knows what it means to be in such an intimate relationship with God that the glory of God shines through them. And the disciples came to know that too. And so have so many in Christian tradition and history who have come to know the love and the compassion and the power of God so thoroughly that it became visible through them. And the same is possible for us. The question is, what do we expect when we come into the presence of God? Amen. Amen.